This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Mary Cheney, has written a new memoir called Now It's My Turn about her experiences working on her father's vice presidential campaigns in 2000 and 2004. In the Bush-Cheney re-election campaign, she was director of vice presidential operations. One of the questions she addresses in her book is, as a lesbian in a long-term relationship, how did she reconcile working on the 2004 campaign when President Bush advocated a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage? Cheney is now chief of staff for Ted Leonsis, the vice chairman of AOL. Before working on her father's campaigns, she'd worked for Coors Brewery as a marketing liaison, doing outreach to the gay community, which had tried to boycott the company. Why did you decide to write this book?
You know, one thing that happens to you when you're in the public eye, frequently the media develop this caricature of you. In my dad's case, he's the Darth Vader behind the Bush presidency. This idea is a sort of malevolent force. And as his daughter of 37 years, I can honestly vouch for the fact that it's not true. And I really wanted to present an accurate portrayal of my dad to let the rest of the world know the man that I love so much.
Does it surprise you that some people think of him as being the Darth Vader type?
Probably not as much as you'd think it would. One of the things that I do love about my dad is and admire about him is he is someone who, he wakes up every morning worried about, what am I going to do today to keep the country safe? What am I going to do to help the president move his agenda forward? He's really focused on doing what's right, doing what he knows is in the best interest of the country. And unlike a lot of politicians, especially in Washington, he doesn't spend very much time worrying about his publicity polls or his popularity. And so he's not somebody who's going to waste much time fighting back against this, Darth Vader image.
You say in your book that you considered leaving your father's campaign after the president supported an amendment to ban gay marriage in his January 2004 State of the Union address. Was it a surprise that the president supported an amendment to ban gay marriage?
It wasn't in that I knew it was coming. I think when you read the book, I talk about really having the internal debate with myself and talking to my family about it before the president actually endorsed it. He'd come darn close to it in the State of the Union when he talked about defending marriage. And what was a surprise for me was that, I think it was a surprise for most people, was that gay marriage really did become an issue in 2004. When I first signed on the campaign in June of 2003, it was before the Lawrence decision in the Supreme Court. It was before the Massachusetts State Supreme Court handed down their decision. It was not an issue that was front and center on a lot of people's radar screens.
So why did you decide to stay with the campaign?
First and foremost, my dad. I believe so strongly in my dad as a person, as a father, as a leader, that I wanted to stay and support him. And I'd made a commitment to support him. Obviously, I hadn't known, back in early 2003 that President Bush was going to endorse the federal marriage amendment, or that there would be a federal marriage amendment. But, that didn't change the fact that I'd made a commitment. And the other reason is, quite frankly, we live in a world where there are terrorists, where there are people and countries who support them, who will do whatever they can to hurt this country and to hurt this nation. And, given that we live in that world, it is of dire importance that we have leaders, that we have a president, a commander-in-chief, who is forceful, who does understand the importance of protecting the country, who's going to do the best job of keeping this country safe. And, quite frankly, in 2004, there was no question that it was George Bush. And, I personally didn't feel like I had the luxury of being a single-issue voter on the issue of same-sex marriage, given the world that we live in.
Why do you oppose an amendment to ban gay marriage?
Because, quite frankly, I could give you the thumbnail sketch, which is it's wrong to write discrimination of the Constitution. But because, I think if you look at our Constitution, it's been amended, I believe, 17 times since the Bill of Rights. And if you look at those amendments. By and large, they are about expanding freedom. They are about increasing inclusion and empowerment, you know, involving more people in our society, whether it's the abolition of slavery or suffrage for women or the direct election of senators or lowering the voting age. That is the story of our Constitution and, quite frankly, the story of our country. Something like the Federal Marriage Amendment, flies in the face of that. It is explicitly exclusionary. It is saying that this group of people are not entitled to the same rights as everyone else.
Now, I know that your mother, Lynn Cheney, has said that she doesn't support a federal amendment to ban gay marriage because she thinks it's a state's issue. And your father had said that he thought it was a state's issue during one of the debates. But did he change his mind subsequent to that and support a constitutional amendment?
No, he's actually always been very clear. And there's a chapter in my book titled Freedom Means Freedom for Everyone that's about the Federal Marriage Amendment. And the line comes from my dad's debate with Joe Lieberman when Bernie Shaw, the debate moderator, asked him about the issue of recognizing relationships. And my dad's always been very clear that he does not support the Federal Marriage Amendment.
But, both of your parents have said that they think it's a state issue, not a federal issue. And there are already some states that have passed laws banning gay marriage and other states that are considering it. And now that it looks like there won't be a federal amendment in the immediate future to ban gay marriage, more states might consider banning it on a state level. I'd really love to hear if you know what your parents think of banning it on a state level, because they've said it's a state issue, not a federal issue, but they've never actually taken a stand, to my knowledge, about where they stand on gay marriage.
Well, it is a state issue in that it's one of the responsibilities that has always been given to states to decide. States set their own laws regarding marriage. What I can tell you is that I can only speak for myself. I'm not really here to represent somebody else's views, and that my parents publicly have both stated their opposition to the Federal Marriage Amendment.
But they've never said what they think of gay marriage. Are you not willing to say on their behalf? Because they don't seem...
I'm not comfortable. I've made a point in life of only representing my own point of view.
What is your point of view on that?
My own point of view is I think this is an issue that is very important for our country to debate. Personally, I would prefer it be an issue that is handled through the legislative branch, not by the courts. But regardless of how it's handled, I ultimately believe we will see same-sex marriage, whether it's called marriage or called civil unions. I believe that is not that far off.
But you haven't said whether you support it or not yet.
I do. I'm sorry. I completely support it. How's that?
Okay. That's good. Thank you for making that clear.
All right.
My guest is Mary Cheney, and she's written a new memoir called Now It's My Turn, A Daughter's Chronicle of Political Life, and it's about her work in her father's vice presidential campaigns in 2000 and 2004. The Bush-Cheney administration was twice elected with support of the religious right, and their campaign emphasized values. And for many leaders on the religious right, at the top of the list of values was banning gay marriage and talking about homosexuality as something that was very threatening to society. Were you comfortable knowing that even though your father may have disagreed with that emphasis, that he was still in alliance with a group of leaders who fervently believe that your way of life threatens America?
One thing that I like about the Republican Party is we are a varied bunch of people. There are people who I passionately disagree with regarding the issue of same-sex marriage, regarding the issue of gay rights. But I also question the assessment that this was an election, especially in 2004, that this was an election about gay rights. Matthew Dowd, who was the strategist on the Bush-Cheney campaign, gave an interview in the last few weeks, in which he talked about the fact that that's sort of one of the urban legends of the 2004 campaign, that you know, the federal marriage amendment and the president's support of it really, you know, drove home support with evangelical voters and with opponents of same-sex marriage. And that, but if you really go look at voter turnout records in states that had gay marriage initiatives on the ballots and states that didn't, it was actually identical. When push came to shove, this really wasn't an election that was driven by this issue. That what it really came down to was it was a national election, by and large, about national security issues.
But I think it's fair to say that the Bush-Cheney ticket tried to portray the election as being about values, and certainly their supporters on the religious right did, and the Republican platform had planks opposing gay marriage and gay adoption. So I guess what I'm wondering is if that alliance between your father and President Bush and the religious right, knowing that the religious right's number one issue at the time was opposing gay marriage, if that made you uncomfortable, because in the world of politics, what it means is that that relation empowers the group that, you know, the religious right, which opposed gay marriage, the alliance empowered them. And it also made the Bush administration, you'd argue, more beholden to the people who helped put them in office, the religious right. So, you know, it kind of empowered that idea of homosexual marriage as a threat to our society, as a threat to families.
I would strongly object to the notion that the Bush-Cheney administration is beholden to any particular group. They have been, you know, the president in particular, I mean, whom I disagree with on this issue, have always been governing from the point of view of what is best for this country. I would hate to think of a leader who is going to say, I'm going to govern based upon what is best or what is in the interest of the religious right or the far left. Anyone who is going to try and govern based upon a splinter of our society. You're president of everyone. You're not president of, you know, 5% of the population.
Well, you said you wanted to stand up for what you believed in. One of the things you believe in is that, you know, homosexuality is an okay part of normal life, and that homosexuals should be able to have relationships under law like everybody else. But it's not something that's not a belief you stood up for during the campaign. Did you feel like it would have been inappropriate or bad for your father's campaign to do that? Why were you silent about that issue, which you believe in?
You know, one of the things that I really respect about George Bush, and one of the things that really reemphasized to me why I stayed on the campaign and why he was the right person to be leading us, is that he let me know that the day that he endorsed the federal marriage amendment, the day he went out in front of the press corps and did that, he let it be known to me that he would understand if I wanted to put out my own statement talking about how much I disagreed with him. And I thought about it. I really did. But ultimately, I decided against it.
Why?
Because, quite frankly, I was a staffer on the campaign. I was director of vice presidential operations. And I think, from my own perspective, it is inappropriate for staffers to be issuing their own public policy statements. I was, of course, you know, I would have been free to quit the campaign and make whatever statement I wanted to make. But because I, you know, believed in these candidates, because I believed in this ticket, you know, I wanted to work on that campaign. And I didn't want to set the precedent of, you know, staffers expressing and representing their own opinion rather than the opinion of the candidate that they were working for.
There were times when you were noticeably absent, like after your father spoke at the Republican convention in 2004, and the whole family, including your sister and her husband and their children, were on stage, but you and your partner were absent. Was that, did that have anything to do with, why were you absent?
That actually has more to do with the fact that Heather, my partner, is an incredibly private person. And so she and I talked about it before we went to the convention in New York. My folks had, you know, told us whatever we wanted to do was fine with them. They'd love us to be on stage, but they also understood if we didn't want to go up there. And pretty much just because Heather was so uncomfortable with it. I mean, honestly, I love her. But if you look at the footage of her, of us on stage at the Victory party, you know, she's uncomfortable. She did it because, you know, she loves me and wanted to support me, and I really wanted to go out there. But she really didn't want to go on stage, and I certainly didn't want to push her. So we watched, and then we went and celebrated with my parents downstairs.
A lot of people assume that you weren't there because on a ticket that had the support of so many people who were anti-gay, it might have seemed a little odd to have the gay daughter and her partner on stage.
Well, the way Heather and I looked at it is, especially because that was just a few days after, you know, Alan Keyes had called me a selfish hedonist.
Mm-hmm.
Heather and I looked at it as, you know, look, whatever we do, it's going to make news, and people are going to talk about it and speculate about it. So, you know, let's just do what we want to do. And that's not go on stage.
I'm interested in hearing your reaction, you know, at the Senate debate on the amendment to ban gay marriage. The most quoted, now infamous remark is from Senator James Imhoff of Oklahoma, who stood in front of a large portrait of his extended family and said, as you see here, and I think this is maybe the most important prop we'll have during the entire debate, my wife and I have been married 47 years. We have 20 kids and grandkids, and I'm really proud to say that in the recorded history of our family, we've never had a divorce or any kind of homosexual relationship. What was your reaction when you heard that?
I'm really glad Senator Inhofe's not my dad.
Do you think that he's saying in a way that your family and every family that has a homosexual in it should be embarrassed, you know?
I try not to read too much into people's comments. Uh-huh. From my own perspective, it was not an embarrassing comment to me. You know, if Senator Inhofe has an issue with my family, that, you know, is Senator Inhofe's issue as far as I'm concerned.
Do you think it's cynical or accurate to think that the gay marriage amendment comes up at times when an election is approaching, you know, when conservatives are trying to rally their base?
All I can really say about that is I would certainly hope that you know, people who are in a position of power, people who are leaders of the Senate, people who are senators, that I would hope no public official would ever try to, would ever start debating and discussing something as important as amending the Constitution strictly for political gain.
You know, one of the things President Bush said, and this was in his State of the Union address in January 2004, is that for the good of families, children, and society, I support a constitutional amendment to protect the institution of marriage. Did you ever at all feel the inclination to speak up there and say, you know, is it good for your family to ban gay marriage? I mean, for your family, it would be good to have that.
For me, it is. But you also have to understand that, you know, from my perspective, Heather and I are married. We're, you know, we've been together now for almost 14 years. We've, you know, owned several houses together. We are currently renovating another house together. We have, you know, built a life together. And quite frankly, I hope to spend the rest of my life with her. From my perspective, I'm just waiting for state and federal law to catch up with where we are. I'm not really sure that I'm something that families need to be protected from.
One of the things you write about in the book is about how you hated the way that John Kerry responded to Bob Schieffer's question at one of the debates about whether homosexuality was a choice. And what Kerry said was, we're all God's children, Bob, and I think if you were to talk to Dick Cheney's daughter, who is a lesbian, she would tell you that she's being who she was born as. Now, you write in the book that you really hated his answer. You felt targeted by his remark. Your mother said, this is not a good man. What a cheap and tawdry political trick. What so upset you about his response?
A couple of things. I think what made it so jarring was that he got a question he wasn't expecting. You know, in debate prep, and I sat in on all my dad's debate prep sessions, we did lots of questions about gay marriage. We would do a question about gay civil rights. But we never asked, is homosexuality a choice? That was never one of the questions we talked about in debate prep. And my hunch would be it was one that the Kerry campaign didn't anticipate either. Because I think what happened is, you know, John Kerry had either programmed himself or been programmed by his handlers that the goal on any question he got on gay issues was vice president and lesbian. Get those words in your answer. It was just so, ham-handed is probably the best way to put it. And quite honestly, I really don't think John Kerry ought to be speaking on my behalf. There are an awful lot of gay people on his side of the aisle that he could speak on behalf of.
You were also very unhappy with something that John Edwards said in a debate with your father in 2004. This was in response to a question Gwen Ifill asked about same-sex marriage. And after your father said that freedom means freedom for everyone, an individual state should decide how to regulate gay marriage. There shouldn't be a federal amendment. Edwards said, I think that the vice president and his wife love their daughter. I think they love her very much. And you can't have anything but respect for the fact that they're willing to talk about the fact that they have a gay daughter, the fact that they embrace her. Now, that comment made you very angry. Tell us what you objected to about it.
Well, I do give John Edwards credit for being a heck of a lot smoother than his running mate was. But he is a recovering trial lawyer, so I suppose that's understandable. Honestly, the exact same thing that was upsetting when John Kerry did it was that it was pretty obvious political attempt to focus attention on the fact that the vice president has a lesbian daughter, and basically to try and score a few cheap political points. That was actually what made me so upset.
You write that when your father told you that he was considering running for vice president, he said that he was concerned that people would target you and your sexual orientation in an attempt to attack him. In reading that, I wasn't sure whether he was concerned that people on the right would use your sexual orientation in an attempt to attack him, or people on the left, or both.
I don't remember ever having a conversation with him about, the attacks are going to come from the left or the right. I think he was just worried about primarily that he wanted to make sure that I understood that there would be a lot of media attention paid to it, which obviously there was. That people, honestly, John Kerry and John Edwards in 2004 are really good examples of people who would try and use the fact that my dad had a gay daughter to score some political points.
Well, I think what a lot of people would say was what Kerry and Edwards were trying to do there was to say, is this a little hypocritical to have a gay daughter, to support a gay daughter, and yet be part of a ticket that many people saw as demonizing homosexuality?
I certainly wouldn't say that our ticket demonized homosexuality. My dad has always made it very clear. My dad didn't even support the Federal Marriage Amendment, for starters. And the president, even though I disagree with him, and even though I think he's wrong on these issues, has always, in every statement I've ever seen, been very clear about saying that, look, this is what I think we need to do on this issue. However, we need to remember that it is important to treat everyone with respect and dignity.
Just to be clear, there was a very, very strong values were emphasized so much, and values at the top of that list of values for the religious right, which was crucial to the Bush-Cheney ticket. At the top of their list was, the amendment to ban gay marriage.
Well, see, I'm going to disagree with you there, Terry. When you talk about values, I think the values that were emphasized during the 2004 election were values of things like leadership and honesty. Those were the values that were really central to the 2004 campaign.
You worked for several years, I think, for Coors Brewery as their mm-hmm. marketing liaison to the gay community. I think they were trying to, repair their image after a boycott or a threatened boycott against them. Exactly what was the problem that you were hired to repair?
Well, I actually had several jobs at Coors, dealing primarily around public relations issues, handling issues like alcohol abuse, underage drinking, environmental issues, clean water, that kind of stuff. And Coors came to me and asked me to, actually getting ready to leave for business school, they came to me and asked me to stay on and do gay marketing, which, quite frankly, sounded like fun because it was a new field. It was something that, you know, maybe three Fortune 500 companies were actually doing at that point in time. And so I took it on as a challenge for a couple of years, I think 2 years maybe.
I'd be interested in hearing your response to this. Some people saw it as hypocritical that you took such a front when Kerry and Edwards mentioned in the debates that you were gay, but at the same time you had a job earlier, you know, that was about marketing to the gay community. Do you see that as contradictory, or does that seem perfectly consistent to you?
I don't understand how it would be contradictory. I mean, I had a job at Coors, one of which was, you know, to help the company sell and market their product to gay and lesbian consumers. You know, I had a job on the Bush-Cheney campaign, which was to run vice presidential operations. And you know, I don't recall ever having a job to be a poster child for John Kerry or John Edwards.
And you felt that that's how you were being used, as a poster child? In what sense?
I was being used as a way for them to try and score some political points.
You said earlier that one of the reasons why you did not want to leave the campaign in 2004 after the president came out after the president came out in favor of a federal amendment, a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage, was because you really believed that the Bush-Cheney ticket was the best ticket for the safety of America. Have you retained your confidence in the war in Iraq? Do you think that the war was the right thing to do and that America is safer as a result of it?
I have no doubt about that. You know, I think, unfortunately, I think the media give a very unfair view of what's been going on in Iraq. I mean, just think about this for a minute. The Iraqis have had 3 national elections in the last 3 years. In every single election, more people have come out and voted and participated than in previous elections. Prime Minister Maliki, if I got the pronunciation right, just named his cabinet, his full cabinet, including his the Secretary of the Interior and the Secretary of the Military. You know, those are huge accomplishments. And on top of everything else, Zarqawi was killed last week. And while he is not the be-all, end-all of the insurgency in Iraq, it is a severe blow to the insurgents in Iraq. And I think we are doing exactly the right thing there.
Mary Cheney, thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Mary Cheney's new memoir is called Now It's My Turn.